Chapter 52. Giles Pritchard's mobile rang, and he looked at the screen. It was Liz Bailey. He took the call. Giles, I thought you'd want to know straight away that GCHQ have managed to get a match on three phones that were at the Hurst house in Hereford, and at the location where Mrs. Hurst called her husband. Excellent, said Pritchard. Well done. It gets better, said Bailey. The same two phones are now in a house in Ealing. If we're lucky, that's where Mrs. Hurst and her daughter are being held.
Some luck would be nice, said Pritchard.
I'll talk to the Major. At this stage, I'd rather not involve the police. Let me have the address. As he scribbled down the address, his office door opened. It was his secretary.
Is everything okay? She asked. Do you need me for anything?
All good, said Pritchard. You really should go home for a few hours at least. You've been at your desk for almost 18 hours. He looked at his watch. It's 2 o'clock.
I'm fine, she said. Really? And you've been here longer than me. Is everything okay?
She asked again. Pritchard nodded. We're getting there, he said. Slowly but surely.
Is there anything I can do?
Just make sure that any calls are put straight through, he said.
What about a coffee and a sandwich?
That would be a lifesaver, said Pritchard. As she closed the door, he called Major Gannon on his mobile. The Major answered almost immediately, which suggested he wasn't asleep, though most of the Special Forces people that Pritchard had come across appeared to be able to sleep with one eye open. I hope I didn't wake you, Alan, said Pritchard.
I'm in my room but not sleeping, said Gannon. What's up?
We believe we have the location of Mrs. Hurst and her daughter. It looks as if they were kidnapped.
Do we know by who?
All we have are their phone numbers, and GCHQ has them in a single location, a house in Ealing. We're assuming that's where they are holding Mrs. Hurst and her daughter.
Excellent, said Gannon.
I'm going to inform the police, but I think things will move faster if we use them as backup, and you mount a rescue operation. The police have a lot of procedures to follow, so they tend to move slowly, and for us, time is of the essence. Do you think you could put together a team?
No problem at all, said the Major. We've got men on standby at Wellington Barracks. I'll head over there now and get things started.
I'll text you the address, said Pritchard. There's something I need to make you aware of. This evening, one of our safe houses was attacked in Hampstead. It was being used to hold a potential informant in a drugs case. The DEA are planning to fly him back to the States. The men who attacked the house seem to be the same ones who hit the house in Wimbledon. 6 of them were killed.
What? Who killed them?
We're not sure. The DEA agents have fled the scene with the informant and haven't been in touch yet.
They were armed. The DEA agents?
I assume so. I'm playing catch-up at the moment. It's all a bit of a mess. We got a call that Sally Page had turned up at the house and we sent Ian Hadley around to collect her. The next thing we hear is that Ian and our colleague Toby Harris and 3 DEA agents are dead, along with 6 of the men who attacked the house. The DEA agents have fled with the informant, and we assume have taken Sally with them.
So this is obviously connected to what happened in Wimbledon.
I would say so, said Pritchard. It looks as if the attack in Wimbledon was an attempt to get the location of the Hampstead safe house so that they could rescue the informant.
And what do the DEA have to say for themselves?
At the moment, not much. We've put in calls to their New York and Washington offices, but they're shut, and no one has called us back. But if Marty Hurst is behind these killings, we need to talk to his wife, and soon.
I'm on it, said Gannon.